This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1985. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, short and medium wave. On this edition, recorded June 6th, Antarctica, Australia, Bhutan, Brazil, Canada, China, Congo DR, Cook Islands, Cuba, Finland, France, Germany, Great Britain, Grenada, Guinea, India, Kuwait, Malaysia, Mexico, North America, Puerto Rico, Romania, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, last week we had a report of LRA 36 Antarctica being heard not only on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but also on Friday. And this week we have a report of it being heard on Wednesday, June 5th, from Manuel Mendez in Spain, LRA 36. He was getting a very weak signal at his location at 1355 and at 1634 UT, but a better signal, of course, via the remote receiver near São Paulo, Brazil. Latin American songs could be heard. Also via a remote receiver in Plymouth, UK, a weak carrier, the exact frequency being 15475.97. Also reported the previous day, Tuesday, June 4th, by Wolfgang Büschel in Germany, using a remote receiver around Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, with a very weak signal at 1714 UT, June 4th. In Australian DX News, Phil Ireland reports Unique Radio, New South Wales, on a new frequency, 3210 USB, barely audible, May 31st at 1200. And Tim Gaynor has been asking for reports. Craig Seeger replies, the dulcet tones of Glenn Hauser, heard June 3rd at 0955, ID with frequency, and then at 958 into a DX segment from their own club, the Australian Radio DX Club. Tim Gaynor goes on to explain to us the latest situation. On Monday and Friday nights and alternate Saturdays on 3210 USB, but Tuesday night still on 5045, but late night on 3210. More additional transmissions are in the works in the mornings, local time. For the latest news, check www.uniqueradio.biz, which I did and found more about this as of June 4th. He says the current schedule on Mondays and Fridays is starting early in the afternoon at 05 UT on Mondays with his own musical program, Sounds of Your Life. And this may run past 0730. Or starting at 0830 UT on Mondays, the International Radio Report from Montreal. At 09, there's an old-time sci-fi episode. And at 0930, World of Radio. Every Monday at 10 UT approximately, World at Your Fingertips from the Australian Radio DX Club, and they offer verifications if program details are included. At 10:15 UT on Monday, the transmission closes down on 5045, or may change to 3210 for further programming until 1300. On Fridays, World of Radio airs at 1000 UT with the latest episode, I think following the previous episode at 0930. On Tuesdays, it's 5045, starting at 07 UT with Sounds of Your Life, and at 08, a double episode of World of Radio. Then at 1130, may change to 3210 for further programming until 14 UT. Saturday programming had been on alternate weeks, but now he says they were both June 8th and June 15th, starting at 09 UT, on 3210 with Sounds of Your Life. At 10, World of Radio. 10:30, International Radio Report. At 11:30 until 14, again, may change to 3210 for further programming. He says overseas relays on WINB 9265 continue as usual. There are three or four broadcasts at different times of day on different days of week. And he says another overseas relay is being assessed, possibly directed to Australia and the Pacific. Ron Howard updates us on BBS Bhutan 6035 on both May 29th and 30th. It closed down somewhat earlier than usual at 11:25 UT. Unfortunately, since that early, there was no interference from the North Korea jamming spur coming out of 6045. He says, for me, the best BBS reception is about 11:50, when they actually run that late, always with the same format, almost readable at times in English. Then on June 2nd, he reported, they went off at 11:15 with better than average reception, again with no North Korean jamming as yet. There was news in English, 11:04 to 11:11, but unreadable, then followed by pop music till it suddenly went off. The cutoff time varies a lot between 1100 and 1200 UT. Via shortwave bulletin, this report from Rafael Rodriguez in Colombia via WRTH-FB. On 4940, May 29th, Radio Brasil Central. He was checking that frequency for reactivation of the Peruvian Radio San Antonio, as had been reported, but instead he was hearing Radio Brasil Central from Guyana. There are no records of it operating on that frequency, supposed to be on 4985. And by the way, Brazilians in the tropical band end in 5 rather than 0 normally. I see, so maybe this was spurious, or they actually moved off 4985, where there's radio teletype interference. The Montreal X-band station on 1650 CJRS has now officially been renamed CKZW. For some reason, they've been using those imaginary calls for several years, but now they are official, according to CIDX Messenger. There are multiple programs from China National Radio, CNR. The one we most often run across, of course, is CNR1, often as a jammer. But there are others, most of them on some kind of shortwave schedule. Ron Howard in California reports on CNR2, which is China Business Radio, heard on 6155. May 30th at 12:01, he had good reception of a comedy variety show called Haiyang Live. It's in Chinese. He says it's often heard on CNR2. In fact, June 3rd, he heard it again at 12:02, starting a daily one-hour show. They open with an ID in English, Ladies and Gentlemen, Haiyang Live Show. But otherwise, in Chinese, it's variety show with comedy and singing. He gets good reception. Manuel Menes in Spain reports on Radio Cahuzi, Bukavu, Congo DR, 6210.2. He hears it irregularly at the closing time, 18:03, starting about 17:30, when propagation conditions are good, but he says some days they're out of air and other days not. He contacted the station and got an email reply about their electricity problems. They say we've been on the air most mornings, but city-wide problems have limited most zones to 1 or 2 hours of electricity during the day and likewise at night. For instance, on 28 May, we were on the air between 8:35 and 9:50 local time, but the current for Bukavu, after we relayed the news, after about half an hour, went out at 18:45. The next day, they say they were on 6210 between 8:26 and 10 a.m., when current went off until the evening, when it was cut several times, until about 19:20, and the electricity was off by 1945. The main problem seems to be that reconstruction of city cables are made without proper use of tape and protection of supply aluminum cables from the rains and short circuits. They say you can imagine how difficult it is to be on the air and protect equipment from current swings from 180 volts to 380 when there are short circuits in local cabinets where the transformers are. Thanks to Chris Rogers in Melbourne, we have a lot more inside info about Radio Cook Islands, which we reported last week is going to lose its medium wave frequency 630 as the tower is being dismantled. But what is the current situation? He says, I emailed a ham operator and got a reply on June 5th. The mast at Matavera is still being used on 630 kilohertz. There's no sign of activity around it. Nothing in the local news about the mast coming down or closing down the AM service. Parliament was being transmitted on it that day. There is a school beneath the mast which has been evacuated, and children have been sent to 3 other locations. The mast is very corroded and quite dangerous in the present state. The stays are fine, I guess that means the guy wires, and in good order. The mast was a gift from New Zealand in 1965 when the Cook Islands became self-governing. He himself arrived in 1970. The transmitter was a 10-kilowatt Marconi, said to be the only one of 2 of that model in the southern hemisphere. So a bit of an orphan and very expensive to replace parts. At the time it was on 600 kilohertz. Around the late 70s it changed to 630. He did the change, just changing the crystal is all that was required. There is a standby transmitter at Black Rock on the northwest side of the island where the golf course is, but it's loaded into a very poor antenna. A good Marconi T antenna could be set up there quite easily with some of the existing unused masts, and a good ground plane is already in existence. And he recalls we had in the late 70s to about 1985 a shortwave transmission in parallel on 11760 with a very old 500-watt Collier and Beale transmitter. That's from Bob Walker, Echo 5-1, Bravo, Quebec, on Rarotonga. Chris Rogers says it appears island time applies in the dismantling of the mast. I'm sure it will happen, but it's a matter of when. There was also a report on Radio Cook Island's FB page, May 25th, The Voice of the Nation. It details how the school children's lives are being disrupted by having to move away to different locations. And finally, Chris Rogers has also got a reply from Radio Cook Islands themselves, someone signing as Jean, J-E-A-N-E. We honestly don't know. We're not really part of the decision-making. The government and the network operator, Blue Sky, made the decision without our consideration. There was supposed to be a 5-week period from when they move the school children out to when they take it down. But they don't actually have a plan of how to take it down. The mast is 108 meters. The biggest crane on the island can only go up to 50 meters. I understand they will be strengthening the mast sections in the middle where it has rusted before they send someone up to dismantle it. It's been raining quite a bit since the kids were moved out, so it's quite risky to work on the mast. I don't think we have professional riggers on the island. One of the big problems is that the government and Blue Sky have not done much maintenance to the mast since it was maintained in the early 1990s, so it has deteriorated. Our service reach is going to be compromised quite a bit when they do dismantle the AM mast. Blue Sky seemed to be keen to get rid of the AM service. There's a backup AM transmitter at Black Rock, 20 to 30 meters high. I've asked if we can keep the service going via that transmitter, but they have said no. We are doing a survey of our reach into the 13 or 15 inhabited islands of the Cooks on their radio usage patterns, but I'm still waiting for that information from the staff. Something's always wrong at Radio Vanacuba. What'll it be this week? 12200 kilohertz. I suggest you keep an ear on that frequency. May 31st at 0612, I was hearing Radio Vanna in English with a good signal up to S9, just as readable as its fundamental 6100, but which was stronger up to 20 over 9. Anyhow, a nice indicator that the maximum usable frequency was up even in the middle of the night, although there are no fundamental frequencies on 25 meters at that time from Havana or WRMI. 12200 was again heard in a different situation, June 2nd at 1341, RHC in Spanish, up to 30 over 9. That is 2 times 6100. But this time, the transmitter's got to be tuned up on 12200 instead to be so strong, rather than an accidental harmonic leakage. There was a barely audible carrier on 6100 at this time. Furthermore, Spanish programming times are all out of whack on that Sunday, June 2nd. Arnie's Spanish DX program in Contacto is supposed to be at 1335 on numerous frequencies, but instead I was hearing slanted news, and at 1346 they started the stamp collector's program El Mundo de la Filatelia to last another 18 minutes. These times are way out of whack compared to their own published schedule on the website. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 1985. Non-commercial, also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, and publication, DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for financial support from Joe Caberlin, VE1EJ in Ontario. One may contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com, or by money order check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Monthly scheduling by day of week and or day of month can be confusing, but Manuel Mendez in Spain says Scandinavian weekend radio, low power in Finland, is to be on the air the weekend of Friday and Saturday, June 7th and 8th. Actually, June 8th, of course, is the second Saturday, but Friday is the first Friday. It always starts at midnight local time. That would be 21 UT on one frequency each in two different bands, 11720 or 11690, and 6170 or 5980. Actually, he says the times are from 22 to 22 UT, but in the summer, Finland is on UT plus 3, which would make midnight at 21 UT. The following is not about shortwave in particular, but from Mike Cooper in Georgia about Radio France. It must cut spending by 60 mega euro in the next 3 years, according to a report entitled Radio France 2022, presented by Sybille Veil, the head of Radio France since last year, according to a report by the magazine L'Express. Speaking of a transformation in all sectors, including digitalization, the report says state funding will decline while salary obligations increase, and 20 of the 60 million euro will be used for digitalization. 25 mega euro in cuts will come from employee salaries. Valérie Emmanuel of the Syndicat National des Journalistes told L'Express, journalists account for 57% of the public radio budget. The SNJ tweeted that the reduction could mean 285 positions could be eliminated. The Radio France 2022 report of 39 pages does not mention job cuts, but says certain people may wish to leave voluntarily. Skyline Radio strikes back, says DJ Jan Henrik. After our great success 7 weeks ago, let's get ready to rumble again. Shortwaveradio.de kindly gave us another possibility to be on the air with some brand new shows via their transmitters in northern Germany. Try to catch our programs 6 hours on Saturday, June 8th. That's before Whitsun, 17 to 23 UT on 3975. Let's hope for good propagation again. Last time we received more than 30 reception reports in April, and we hope to beat this result. A good chance to catch another special EQSL card. Skyline Radio Germany, PO Box 2702, 6049ZG, Herten, the Netherlands, or Skyline Radio Germany at web.de. About those Volmet weather broadcasts on 5450 USB by the RAF from Gibraltar or not? Well, here's, I think, the final word from Bill Hepburn of DX Info Center, who lists Volmet stations. It seems that the confusion results from misinterpreting what the abbreviation GBR stands for. It's Great Britain, while Gibraltar in the ITU code is GIB. It's almost impossible here in North America with hundreds of other graveyard stations on 1400, but Harbor Light of the Windwards, Grenada, is often reported from Europe. And here's some info about it via Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener, which he found on their website, which is www.harbor.lightradio.org. It's a non-commercial Christian radio facility in the northeastern slope of Carriacou Island with a 100% solid-state Nautel XR12 AM transmitter. The antenna is a quarter-wave, series-fed monopole, 55 meters high, with an above-ground tuned radial ground system that uses only four wires 55 meters in length perpendicular to each other and 5 meters above ground. The computer models show this is as good or slightly better than the conventional ground system with 120 radials buried in a circle around the tower, and our tests have proved this also. This is the beauty of this system is its ease of installation, maintenance, and low cost. It went on the air on December 1st, 1991. The present schedule is 08 to 04 UT. The primary coverage is out to 300 kilometers or so, but have received reports from South America and Europe. Primarily Bible preaching, but also science, drama, family and home programs, classical music, weather and world news from the BBC. They say they were the only radio station in Grenada to remain on the air during the hurricanes Ivan and Emily in 2004 and 5. For more than 27 years, they used a Nautel Indy 5 5-kilowatt solid-state transmitter installed in October 1991 and was in operation until April 27th this year. It had operated nearly flawlessly for 10 years before we had our first real trouble, but on April 27th, 2019, we installed a slightly used Nautel XR12, which we purchased from the former government station in Grenada and converted it to our frequency, and lowered the power to 5 kilowatts instead of 10, of which it is still capable, and may be increased. Manuel Mendez in Spain says Radio Guinea 9650 had been off the air for about a week, but was being heard again as of June 3rd around 16 UT. Speaking of off the air, John Filiozzi in New York says, no sign of All India Radio General Overseas Service on 9445 at 2144 UT. Lanfa Li in China says there's no signal on that frequency for a long period of time. And Andy Reid in Ontario says, I find that when 9445 leaves the air, it is gone for months, and then it's back. I can usually detect at least a barely audible carrier from Radio Kuwait's optimistic North American service in Arabic on 17550. But June 1st at 2102, it was way off frequency, like happens to so many other Kuwait transmissions. I measured it on 17549.638. Ron Howard reports on YFM WAI via Kajang, Malaysia, 11665. At 1230 to 1317, May 31st, in vernacular, mostly phone calls and a few pop songs. There was news at 1300 to 1309, and several YFM IDs. Also, June 1st, heard at levels similar to those a few years ago with a respectable signal and some adjacent interference. Ramey's Mexico beat at WTFDA warned us that two Mexicali AM stations were about to close down forever at the end of the June 2nd Sunday broadcast, XCCL 990 and XED 1050. We got the word out ahead of time, and this was of special interest to Steve McGreevy in California, who is very familiar with those stations. He, in fact, was all set to record their final broadcast. They did stay on at least somewhat beyond midnight. That is 0700 UT on June 3rd. In nearby Arizona, Rick Barton also notes, years ago I had XCCL 990 on my car radio. They played great oldies as Rockola 990 from the 50s and 60s and Mexican covers of them in Spanish. Chris Smolinski in Maryland of HF Underground reports a presumed pirate old-time radio heard June 5th at 1445 on 13560 during some excellent propagation. It had been reported previously on this frequency, but at night it's on 6770. I finally heard the reactivated pirate station YHWH on 7480, June 5th at 0352 with the usual screed. Walt Salmoniv in Victoria, B.C. then checked it out and was also hearing it until they went off at 0422. In the utility section of Australian DX News, Eddie Waters in South Australia reports on the source of some heavy interference we often hear amid broadcasters on 7455 and 12120. He says these are both from Puerto Rico, NAU, the U.S. Navy station, with an encrypted STANAG transmission, and they're on the air for very long hours. He heard them around 0630 UT, May 12th. June 5th at 2313, I was surprised to encounter Radio Romania International in Spanish on a new frequency, 11990. During that hour, it's supposedly only on 11700, conflicting with Cuba, and in the clear on 11800. However, they have registered 4 frequencies available for that transmission, not including where I heard them, 11990, the others being 9700 and 9760. Here's a reverse language lesson suggestion from Richard Langley in New Brunswick. On Sundays at 2030 UT, VOA has Learning English in its French service to Africa, scheduled on 9490, 11900, 15185, and 15730. Both the French and English are simplified, and although it's intended for French speakers to learn English, I can follow the French for the most part and learn some new vocabulary. 15185 and 15730 are from Greenville and provide reasonable signals. WRMI is being heard again on an unlisted frequency, not even on their website, although it is registered 5800. June 3rd at 1025, I was hearing oldies and a WRMI ID. And June 5th at midnight to midnight 45 UT, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany was hearing jazz on 17 hertz above 5800 via the remote at Cape Canaveral, wondering if WRMI is using that frequency to warm up a transmitter. At midnight 5 UT, he says it was parallel to 5950. Here's a comment from Chris Lobdell, editor of the Free Radio Scene and CIDX Messenger. I don't think I'd ever say this, but I can now. The time has come that if you want to be a shortwave pirate in the USA, you can do so with very little chance, if any, of being busted. Why is this? The current legislation in Congress specifies FM and AM bands only. There's no mention of shortwave, so the concentration is elsewhere. The only concern I do have is that if you're in the jurisdiction of the Detroit FCC office, one of the field officers there is a DXer who was responsible for busting Radio Runnin' and the Crystal Ship several years ago. Not sure what's happening there, so you might need to be careful. As long as you don't live next door to an FCC office, interfere with any other legitimate radio services, and do not broadcast excessively, go ahead, fire up that pirate transmitter and have some fun, says Chris Lobdell, not GH. Terry Kruger has a very strange report from Clearwater, Florida, about something on 1390 kilohertz. May 31st at 10:51, maybe his biggest mystery in 48 years of DXing. While on the frequency with WAGD Gainesville, Florida, and Weaker WFHT in Avon Park, something else faded up. Rocket by Def Leppard briefly, and other music from a third station, and then an ID as 98.9 WMMO Orlando, and confirmed as parallel to that station's web stream. But there are only two Florida stations on 1390, as mentioned. The signal came roughly from the east-northeast, from around Lakeland, Orlando, or Daytona, and it went off around 1200 UT or rapid fade, never to return on subsequent checks, nor on following days. Suspect someone between Clearwater and Orlando was testing a transmitter on 1390, but who and why? After alerting fellow Florida DXers about my mystery, heard May 31st, David Crawford in Titusville heard what is surely the same source on the morning of June 4th, relaying a different 98.9 station, WBZE in Tallahassee, until the signal was lost at 0930. Working theory is that someone is rogue testing a transmitter somewhere in central or north central Florida, possibly a replacement or auxiliary, using a vacant channel while the licensed existing frequency transmitter remains on the air. Either that or it's a blatant pirate. There are no construction permits on 1390 or adjacent channels either side in Florida, and there's no 1390 in the Tallahassee market or southern Georgia. Steve McGreevy has another oddity on medium wave. Brother Stare in the evenings in the Mojave Desert, blaring in via what I identify as KORE, 1050 in Springfield, Oregon. Same as heard on shortwave, totally dominating 1050 and mixing with XED while he was recording the reported final night from Mexicali, June 3rd. He says certainly not the 100-watt night level that KORE is licensed to. They now sound like their 5-kilowatt day pattern. The AM broadcast band in the States has gone haywire with lots of pattern and power cheating, and he cites another but unconfirmed example. It's a mystery why the standards on the medium wave band in the USA has become so chaotic. The propagation alert from Boulder issued June 3rd. Geomagnetic field below G1 minor storm levels, but active conditions likely on 25 June, with AM Candidacies peaking at 12 and 4. Unsettled on June 8th and 9th, 23rd and 24th, and 26th. Elevated levels of geomagnetic activity anticipated due to multiple recurrent coronal hole high-speed streams. Quiet conditions for the remainder of the outlook period, that is, AN candidacies of 8 and 3 or 5 and 2 through June 29th. Solar flux, 72, dipping to 70 by June 18th for the rest of June. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1985 with a standard disclaimer.